This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads, it hides the feeling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer. I'm too distant to talk, my vicious assault is inflicted in parts to slit you a stick in your heart. I got nothing to lose and nothing to gain. Only way I'm dying is up in flames, I'm stuck in the game.
Place to Be Nation, hi, welcome to Freak Out Drive-In. I am your hostess, Jennifer Smith. Today we are going to watch a 1999 movie called Lake Placid. It will be with my good, close, dear personal friend, Tim Capel. Tim and I share a love of sort of over-the-top entertainment in general, and specifically, like, monster movies, which this is kind of what Lake Placid is, right? So, in the vein of, like, a Deep Blue Sea or The Meg, you know, just replace the sharks with a giant crocodile in a lake. So, I usually let Tim or my guest pick the movie that they want to watch with me for Freak Out Drive-In. But for this one, I had in mind the movie Crawl, which is out in theaters now, which is sort of similar, like an alligator movie during a hurricane. So I thought, well, let's watch Lake Placid because I remember loving it, and I haven't seen it in quite a long time. So I wanted to watch that with Tim. I had to rent this one on Vudu for like $4. I think Tim bought the DVD or the Blu-ray from Amazon. So either one of those options. I was under the delusion, I guess, that this was streaming somewhere because I swear I saw it, but I guess not. But if you do find it streaming somewhere, good luck with that. But yeah, you can check it out. I don't think I could rent it on Prime either. It wasn't available on Prime. So anyway, I hope you find it. And I don't want to spoil anything, but Betty White makes an appearance in this movie, which I think that tells you whether it's more a horror or comedy. But there are there's a great creature in it, a great monster, and so it's valid, okay? Don't give me any crap about this not being a horror movie. All right, so before Tim and I get you started, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we have going on at placetobenation.com right now. Well, the website and all of our feeds. So on the pop feed, the Sarcastic Four continue their look at 1971 with the second of their three-part episode of Marvel Age. And the ninth episode of Laughing Theater with Andy is joined by John Arsenio D'Amato to do a live watch of the 2005 comedy The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which I'm sure is a hoot. On the 31st episode of Songs with Friends, Steve and Kelly talk Gin Blossoms and DMX. The Hard Traveling Fanboys continue Spider-Man Month with a look back at the 2002 Sam Raimi directed Spider-Man movie. DC4U continues its celebration of Superman with a look back at the pilot episode for the classic TV show Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and also pay tribute to the late Eddie Jones, who played Pa Kent. Love that show. Pop Goes the Movies when Andy and Miranda discuss Toy Story 4 and Men in Black International. Glenn and Alana are back with a new spectacular review of Stranger Things Season 3. The Great Debate, number 6, finds host Andy, joined by Nick Duke, Jordan Duncan and Scott Griscolo. Another thing that's going on is the Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, and that is on our Facebook page. So all you have to do is like the page, and you'll see 6 polls every day, and pick your favorites, and this will go like all the way till October. So, you know, we are bound and determined to pick a winner for this thing. But on the wrestling feed, Ben Zanny drops 2 episodes of Row 1, Seat 1, welcoming in guest Dominic Guarini and Tony Deppen. On episode number 130 of Main Event, Scott, Nate, and Steve are joined by Sheriff Pete to talk New Japan, G1 Climax, AEW Impact, Evolve, and much more. Chris and Devin are back to bring you the same night review of Extreme Rules 2019. On the latest episode of Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott welcome Tim Slomka to the mothership as they talk the MSG House show from October of 1989. And there's a new wrestling podcast out there on the feed. It is called PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance. I am a host involved with that, along with JT and John Tomato. And so it's just like a little primer episode in which we just kind of lay out what we're going to do and how often we're going to bring you these episodes. So it's a quick little listen, and then we'll have you a full-length episode starting with the night the line was crossed from February of 94. So that'll be coming up soon. So keep an eye out for that for ECW fans. On PlaceToBeNation.com, the tribute to 1994 is off and running. There's a piece on Woodstock of 94, a piece where JT looks back at Bob Backlund challenging Bret Hart for the WWF title on Superstars. And then Andy Helene and Jason Sherman, I think just today, did a pod about some music, some alternative albums from 1994. So check that one out. And you should always check out our social media pages and our message board at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the greatest pay-per-view and TV match ever project, so you can start your list. All right, with all of that being said, please check out all of that stuff, and there's even more like content coming for you. I mean, I swear, it's just we're machines here. We get it done. We have to entertain the masses. Speaking of which, I hope you are entertained by Tim and I and our live watch of Lake Placid. Enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Jenny.
Wow. It's me,
look
Jenny.
At this.
Yeah, look
never
at it.
We've talked to you before. You know, what a first here on PTB Nation Pop.
Have we met?
Yes. You know, I mean, always my dream to appear here on Freak Out. Drive in with Jen Bob Briggs.
Oh, I like it. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we're clearly retconning the fact that I've already appeared on this show,
obviously,
I guess.
Obviously, yes.
Making it up as we go. What did you watch last time? What was it called?
It was the Thanksgiving one.
The Thanksgiving horror movie, yes.
Yes.
The very bloody Blood Harvest?
Something?
No. Something like it should have been called that if it wasn't,
yeah,
but I think that's not what it was called.
A great movie,
Blood Feast.
Blood Feast.
No, that doesn't sound right either.
No, I'm sure it is.
Anyway, you can watch it on Shudder, probably. Hopefully, we had a great time.
We sure did. I mean, I don't remember the movie, but I remember talking to you about it.
Right, right. Well, we had technical difficulties too, but
we did. Yes,
we made the most of it.
Okay, so this one is a little bit different because normally I have my guest pick the movie, but in this case, I kind of got a flash of inspiration because the movie that we're watching is called Lake Placid. So it's sort of, I don't know, what would you call it, like a monster movie? A horror comedy?
Yeah. It's a subgenre of the horror genre itself. Of, you know, it's a creature feature,
right?
Killer animal movie. from 1999. And, I mean, there's different spins on this kind of flavor of film. And that's something I was curious about. Like, what is your preferred take on the killer animal movie? Do you like when it's just played completely straight down the line, deadly serious, you know, like Jaws? You know, that's sort of the classic example. Or you could go completely in the opposite extreme, where it's just acknowledging exactly what it is, embracing the absurdity, something like, I don't know, like an Eight-Legged Freaks, which is just completely out there.
I'm going to say typically I fall sort of in the middle, if you want to think of maybe like a Deep Blue Sea.
Good example.
Yeah, sort of a good hybrid, which, you know, I adore my killer shark movies. Cool. And then, you know, sort of a horror comedy is also very much my wheelhouse. And so the new movie, Crawl, is, I think it just came out this past weekend. So
yeah, good timing.
So I was like, you know, we should probably do one of these type of movies, which I feel like Crawl is sort of in this realm with Lake Placid.
We're pretty close. I mean, the Crawl, I understand, is a killer alligator movie, which I am very much looking forward to seeing. I haven't seen yet, but I'm sort of hyping myself up for that. And here in Lake Placid, we have a killer crocodile movie. So, I mean, we're talking alligators, crocodiles. I feel like we've had this conversation before, but alligators are sort of the more chill stoner version of crocodiles.
Exactly.
You know, they're not, you don't think of them as being as aggressive as a crocodile, but I hope Crawl does this genre proud. And I think this movie, in the great tradition of killer crocodilian films, it is a pretty, I think, well-known, maybe the most mainstream of its ilk. You know what I mean? Trying to think of, you go back to, I mean, there's a history of shark movies, of course. Go back to Jaws, and as you said, Deep Blue Sea. Jaws itself being a trilogy, and
of course the Meg killer, last summer.
The Meg, yeah. I mean, I almost think you always need to have at least every 2 years a killer shark movie
for sure.
A summer. Yeah, kind of one of those late summer movies. The Meg. I was kind of a fan of, what was the one, The Shallows. I thought that was pretty good. It's not more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more serious than The Meg. So you get some variety there within the subgenre. And I think back to, gosh, 1980, you had Alligator. You ever seen that movie?
I don't think I have.
Stars Robert Forster, which I mention only because he co-starred with Bridget Fonda, star Lake Placid, in 1997's Jackie Brown. How about that?
Now, was Lake Placid Bridget Fonda's last movie? Because I don't remember seeing her.
That's a great question. Kind of wondering that.
Did this movie ruin her career?
So, people forget she was in Jackie Brown, right?
Yeah,
a couple years
for sure.
Before this. I mean, people forget that Jackie Brown exists, which is, I think, kind of an underrated and really maybe top three or maybe my number four Tarantino film. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, it's up there. Different conversation for me. She was in that, and then, you know, a couple years later did this, and you're right. I'm struggling to think of anything else she did.
This movie broke Bridget Fonda.
It's not like this is a terrible movie. You know, I think it's pretty good, not just for what it is, but, I mean, it's a pretty good movie.
I mean, you have a pretty good cast here. I mean, right now you've got, what's his name, Brendan Gleeson?
Yes.
As the sheriff guy. Mm-hmm. And he's on the lake, and a diver is getting mauled and eaten.
Right.
While he tries to pull him up into the boat. Oh, and he just pulls up his torso with no leg. Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Very upsetting, that shot.
That was amazing. Which I haven't seen this movie in, like a real long time. Probably.
Yeah.
Got to be like 8 years. I mean, I've seen it. I saw it when it came out, and I see it maybe one more other time.
Did you see it in the theater?
I feel like I did.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like I did.
I know I didn't see it in the theater, but like as soon as it was on video, it was like I was renting this from Blockbuster. Just because it was very much my shit. I mean, what I will just come out and say, alligators are my favorite animal. Crocodiles, kind of, sort of. I mean, you know, close enough. So, you make that into a killer animal horror movie, I'm there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to show up for that.
We got a young Mariska Hargitay.
We do. Mm-hmm.
She looks tremendous.
Yeah, well, let's see. Had SVU started this same year, 1999.
Yeah, she got that 90s haircut real good.
She looks like one of those 90s chicks, excuse me. Probably filmed before SVU, but she would be starting out on that path, I feel like, shortly after this. And here we're seeing Bridget Fonda complaining about how she had a relationship with her boss. She works for a museum. And he was fucking Mariska Hargitay on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of bitter.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, here we go. Daddy Bill Pullman.
Daddy Bill Pullman. Let's talk about Bill Pullman for a minute. Bill Pullman is so handsome and so genial and has the most perfect hair. And I almost can't deal with it.
He has like this squinty eyes and this husky voice.
Oh,
it's very attractive, and you just see him. You know, every time I think Bill Pullman, I think Independence Day. Obviously,
yeah, 3 years before this.
Right. So he has a lot of presence to him.
Yeah, and he's not like a conventional leading man kind of.
Right.
He doesn't have that kind of look, but at the same time, you're like, man, he's hot, you know?
Yeah, he really is.
Mm-hmm. And we are now back in New York looking at Bridget Fonda and her boss / ex-lover who she just told to go fuck himself.
What else have I seen this guy in?
That's what I'm wondering.
He's like the sleazy guy.
He is, and
he
it's not
have
large.
Tremendous salt and pepper hair, though. I've said tremendous three times, but I'll find another word. But he has really nice salt and pepper hair. I will say for a douche guy.
Mm-hmm. Is that Adam Arkin?
Is it? I think it is.
Right. Yeah.
What do we know him from? I've done zero prep for this podcast.
I understand. He was on Chicago Hope for quite a while, assuming that's him, which I'm pretty sure it is. Very small role here for Adam Arkin, if I'm not totally off base. Wasn't he in one of the Halloween sequels, like the one with, where they brought back Jamie Lee Curtis, H2O?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he was like her love interest in that. Anyway.
So he's sending her off to Maine to look at some sort of tooth for the museum
right.
that she works at.
Right. She's insisting this guy got eaten by a bear underwater.
Right.
Which, you know, I guess more plausible than the plot of this movie.
Maybe.
Which is that a saltwater crocodile swam the expanse of an ocean to get to this Maine, mind you,
Maine.
Lake.
Yeah.
These cold-blooded animals, it would move closer and closer towards an increasingly inhospitable environment, but that's just what we're going with here.
Well, you have to go where the food is, right? So,
I guess, yeah.
These Maine people, they all eat lobsters, so they taste good.
Tasty. Yeah, yeah. Fair point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So,
ooh. What a reveal. The dead diver is on the autopsy table, cut in half. That's so good. Show him again.
I know, right? Come on. It's a hard R, right?
So.
We've gotten a few F-bombs. It can't be PG-13. We've already exceeded our F-bomb quota. But
have you ever been to Maine?
I haven't been to Maine. To be honest with you, I do not think I've ventured farther north than like Rochester, New York. But I understand it is very cold. Not, you know, a place where a crocodile. I am a herpetologist, you understand.
I do understand that, yes.
In my spare time. So, not the type of place a crocodile, any crocodilian, could really survive long term, you know, short of being in a very controlled environment. So, yeah, more on that later. We will monitor the plausibility of this film as it progresses.
Okay, our handsome Bill Pullman is meeting Bridget Fonda for the first time.
Look at them pants. Look at them mom jeans.
They look good.
Man. Just sitting on his waist, not moving.
Seems like they're going to hit it off.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, they've got that romantic tension. Like, she's a bitch and he's being an asshole to her. Clearly, they're made for each other.
You know, it looks really good. Like, it's shot really well.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a sort of piece of crap movie.
That it is.
It's a little like it's...
Right.
It's like a horror comedy, but it's shot like a romantic comedy, sort of.
Well, and that's a worthwhile point. I mean, this is one of those films that does kind of straddle the line between being a serious creature feature killer animal movie and a just out and out ridiculous satire. I think it's probably more comedy than horror. But it does exist within the two worlds.
Right.
And I kind of wish we just had more of that. More of that mainstream presentation.
Why is something like this not mainstream? Like, I don't know.
I don't get it. Because when it's done really well, I think it hits. It really... Look at Jaws, right? I mean, Jaws... spawned how many sequels? Like three sequels of diminishing quality in return. But nonetheless, that was a real money-making kind of project. And it just seems like this type of thing is relegated to the trash heap. You know, it's always the bullshit sci-fi channel original movie, which have their charms, don't get me wrong. I mean, Sharknado, they're a lot of fun. They're ridiculous, you want to laugh at. But I appreciate the fact that you can have things like The Meg and Crawl. And as I said, The Shallows, where it's a very blockbuster kind of wide release cinematically. There should be a market for that.
And just to let you know that this is more comedic than horror, which I shouldn't say on this horror podcast, but you have Betty White in the cast.
We have
here,
Betty.
And I'm sorry, but she just elevates everything that she's in ever.
Oh, my God.
And she looks exactly the same 10 years that she does in this movie. She's amazing.
The Betty White effect was not a thing in 1980. Was this kind of what, I mean, did her resurgence really start here?
I don't think so. I mean, has it been a 10-year thing? I feel like it's only been the past,
I know,
several years where that was a thing, but...
Because it's not like she did a bunch of stuff after this mm-hmm. that you're like, oh, yeah,
right,
but...
Right.
It is one of those, feels like a more recent phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And this is a 20-year-old movie.
So that maybe they were ahead of their time.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Good job, Lake Placid. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, we should mention, written by David E. Kelley.
Isn't that surprising?
It is surprising, but you can tell watching it. I mean, it has that kind of quippy kind of dialogue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you would expect a killer animal movie written by David Kelley to be, but that in and of itself is not something you would ever expect. I don't know why he would want to do this, but here we are.
Right, yeah, I wonder. Did he just wake up one day and just go?
I mean, isn't he still like knee-deep in Ally McBeal and those kinds
right,
of things?
I think so.
He did that, right? I'm not just talking out of my ass.
Right. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So they pull up this moose head, which was clearly decapitated by something. That's mm-hmm. not scary at all. But they're all just setting up their tents in the woods.
They are. They're setting up their tents in the woods, which, by the way, Bridget Fonda, who protested about being sent to Maine in the first place, shows up in Maine, and then after examining the tooth, insists on going out on the lake with Bill Pullman and Brendan Gleeson, and then bitches about having to be set up in a tent, and it's just like, you're already at the point of like, shut the fuck up, I hate you. You know?
She's very annoying.
So I don't know that that's deliberate or a problem necessarily, but she is not endearing herself to the audience, mm-hmm. certainly.
Good thing Bill Pullman is.
He is, yes. Yeah. Very matter of fact.
You kind of already want to see her getting eaten by the Lake Placid monster.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just because she's Bridget Fonda. I mean, this could be quite frankly, anyone written this way and portrayed this way, so unlikable. You're like, gonna need them to.
Yeah, please. Okay, all right. I'm starting to remember parts of this as we go along.
Mm-hmm. We have a helicopter.
Helicopter going to land on the lake.
Hmm.
If a I helicopter. Go to Maine, I'm going to ride on the helicopter and land on the lake somewhere. Probably at Lake Placid if I ever go there.
Yeah. Is it a real place?
I think it is.
Hmm. The underside of this helicopter, we should note, kind of looks like the belly of a crocodile.
Kind of does.
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt. He is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I saw him was on a little movie. I think it was called Ready to Rumble.
Oh. That we might have watched.
We might have watched together, yes.
This is the second film we have done a live watch for featuring Oliver Platt.
Isn't that amazing?
Who knew?
What is our life?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? So he's, what is he? Some sort of adventurer?
Hector Seer. Yes, Hector Seer, who is a guy who we understand at this point is very fascinated with crocodiles mm-hmm. and has traveled the world over studying crocodiles. And we will gain a better understanding of his motivations as mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. film progresses. His name is Hector Seer. What
That's
a name.
A great name.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and he looks very Kevin Smith in this movie, I feel.
bit, yeah.
He's got that kind of late 90s look.
Now, you would think that with the full might of the sheriff's office and whatnot, why would they not be in, like, a legit boat as opposed to these little fucking canoes if they suspect right. this giant killer croc in their lake?
Yeah, this is, I mean, we've seen them in better boats than this. So
there's no way kind of that this would be happening.
Trouble. I mean, he's got his laptop here out on the water in this shitty ass canoe. And it is definitely taking a backseat to the plot here. Like, yes. Certain things just need to happen, so we need to put them in the shittiest boats possible.
Yeah, they all look super happy about it, especially Bridget Fonda. I can't blame her, though.
Very half-heartedly.
Have you ever been canoeing? Isn't it the worst?
Yeah. It sucks. It
fucking sucks. Really, I used to go to this summer camp with my brother and my cousins, and me and my brother could not ever do anything together because we always fucking fight about everything. Somehow we ended up in the same canoe together and just bitched at each other the entire fucking time. It was a nightmare. Just rowing, screaming at each other, like rowing in circles.
Yes.
Oh, shit. It was
So Bridget Fonda just got launched here.
Somebody tipped that thing over.
I've also been kayaking, which is marginally better than canoeing.
But it's just you, right?
Just in the sense of it's just you relying upon yourself.
You're like, if my muscles give up on me, then like I'm just here. Like this just.
I think that kayak we had when we actually did live on a lake many years ago in the 90s was a 2-seater. It was just an inflatable bullshit kayak, but you know, it was fine for our purposes. Never got attacked by any gigantic crocodiles in that lake, I will tell you.
Sadly.
Yeah, what a story that would have been.
Let's see if I have any other. Okay, I do have sort of an alligator story.
Oh, I'm here for it.
Okay, so my family had this place at the lake, not on the lake, but at the lake, which means it's in the woods in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Alabama. And
I follow you.
And by place, I mean like a trailer with like some rooms attached to it and a deck.
Yeah.
So
stationary, not like a traveling trailer. Right.
And so we went to the swimming hole there one day. My cousins, myself, my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, John.
Oh.
And we went to the swimming hole. And so, boys being boys, they decided they were going to bet each other to swim all the way across the swimming hole, which was pretty large. And I tried to be the voice of reason, and of course, somebody listened to me. So, John and my cousin start swimming across. They're gonna go all the way across. They're going to race. And like 3/4 of the way across, my cousin just turns around and comes back and starts swimming back, like as hard as he can, as fast as he can. John, like bobbles in the water over there for a little bit. And I'm like, what is he doing? And then he kind of veers off to the side and then disappears. And then my cousin comes back. He's like, there was an alligator over there. There was an alligator.
No.
And he's like, what is John? I was freaking out, of course. I'm like, what is John doing?
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't turn back. He said he was going to swim all the way across and go across to the, there were some houses there with like some docks and some stairs going up to their place. So it's like, he's going to swim to the dock and get up on the
side. Because at a certain point, you gotta make a decision. Yeah. Like, are you more than halfway? Right. Do you keep swimming? Like, yeah.
So then he sort of like disappears. We see him get out of the water, so he knows he's not eaten alive. And he just climbs up the stairs and disappears. And so we have to go out of the water, around the park, and pick him up on the road, like the bridge went over the lake. And he was like, yeah, I almost got eaten by that alligator. And
holy shit. So he saw it too.
Oh, he totally saw it. And of course, every time that he told the story, it got bigger and bigger.
So was it like actively trying to fuck with him, or was it just kind of there?
I think if it was actively trying to fuck with him, then he probably be dead.
He probably did, yeah. Because alligators tend to be better swimmers than you.
So I think it just let him, like, swim away.
Yeah, I mean, alligators are kind of chill. I mean, they're opportunistic predators, right? Like, let's call a spade, but they tend not to be as aggressive as crocodiles, as we see in this movie. So, or as large. So, you know, they might look at a human as, yeah, I'm not going to go there. It's, you know, I'm biting off more than I can chew here. But that's a really fun story.
Yeah, I've told it for like 20 years now. So
Right. I mean, in Alabama, you figure you're close enough that any body of water is potentially going to be a problem.
For sure. And like, I grew up on that lake, so I, you know, and that's part of the reason why I tried to talk them out of it, obviously. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got a lot of shit for me that day. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, I bet. And now you live in Florida, alligator girl. Yes.
Right. Which, oddly enough, bears are more, like, aggressive here than.
Yeah.
And you got a lot prominent. Of alligators. Yeah. Oh, my God. All the time.
Bobcats and everything else.
Fucking lizards, snakes.
Pythons, yeah. Big problem,
tired
right?
Of this shit.
Tired of it.
Fucking frogs will jump on my face when I'm on my patio. It's disgusting. Horrible. I mean, like, I don't fuck with frogs at all. Like, gross.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up one time. And I was sort of like, as if Florida wasn't bad enough, just for the people, you've got this wildlife situation.
And like in my town, there were bears up in a tree in the park. So they had
in a tree.
There were bear cubs up in the tree in the park, like on 98, like on a busy ass road in the park. So they had to shut the park down so that little kids wouldn't go play up there. And they were like, "Eh, we'll just close the park till the bears climb down out of the tree." What are we doing?
What? Cancel Florida.
We're getting run over by bears.
Jesus. Well, we're also seeing Brendan Gleeson now in his
boxer briefs.
Yeah, a little bit underdressed.
Ooh, hachi-bachi.
The sheriff. kind of HMH now. He's going to go and take a leak. Hopefully not get his dick bit off.
Hopefully not. This campground is so obviously not on location. Like, it's clearly a set.
It's on stage.
I mean, it looks like fake as fuck. And, like, obviously parts of this were filmed on location. Like, why not just... Dude, I could be wrong, but it looks really fake. Maybe Maine is that beautiful to where it looks fake.
Yeah, right. He's also not exactly at the water's edge here and freaking out over getting attacked by a crocodile, which, I'm sorry, despite what this film says, no, they don't hang out on dry land. They kind of... Sure, they can walk, but... That's about the extent of it. They're not going to go after you if you're in a fucking tent.
They can come on land.
Yeah, they.
Oh, she's wearing her full out pajamas. Like, why? You're in a tent, girl.
We get this little interplay here between Oliver Platt and Brendan Gleeson. It's like this love-hate relationship that is developing. It's kind of fun.
It is fun. I would like to see them fuck by the end of the movie.
That'll right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have chemistry, mm-hmm. and they have some sexual tension, let's face it.
Mm-hmm. Which, who doesn't with Oliver, really?
Well, and Oliver is painted as Hector Cyr, excuse me, his mm-hmm. character, sexually ambiguous. I mean, mm-hmm. perhaps asexual. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. He was kind of hit on. Perhaps bisexual because he was hitting on the deputy mm-hmm. chick earlier. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
He fell into a Hector trap.
Yeah, so Brendan Gleeson just fell into the crocodile trap that was dug earlier. Hmm.
This lake is beautiful, I will say.
It's lovely. Mm-hmm. It is.
Now they're in a proper boat. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing?
What are we doing? All right. Okay, so I Bill Pullman is not the sheriff. He's the game warden?
He's a game and fishery kind of guy.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's qualified to scuba dive.
Well, yeah, apparently this is kind of his jurisdiction, mm-hmm. so he sort of has authority over law enforcement, but must work with them, mm-hmm. you see. Mm-hmm. But it's his ball game, you know.
Main fish and game.
There you go. Mm. And
do you feel like they're going to see a giant crocodile when they go diving?
I feel like they think they're looking for a giant crocodile, but don't quite believe they truly have a giant crocodile situation again in Maine. For very different valid reasons. Mm-hmm. But they're sort of like they have to go through the motions, basically. I mean, they have this certified expert, who showed up and seems to believe that they're dealing with a crocodile. But living in Maine, you think? I mean, there's no way this lake doesn't freeze in the winter, right? I mean, I live in Central Virginia. All of our freshwater lakes, rivers, whatever, freeze in the winter. We're talking about New England, so long term, not good for a crocodile.
So they've come across a cow carcass.
Hmm.
Gross.
Yes. Ugh. Kind of reminiscent of, again, Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Some a little of the bit.
Diving scenes in that.
These are pretty good diving scenes.
They are. You get some kind of jump scares mm-hmm. when they're shooting these scenes.
Have you ever been diving?
No.
Me either.
Would you like to?
I'm on the fence about it. I can see it me being like really like claustrophobic about it too, but then I can see me like really enjoying it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I think I'm too fat to be properly comfortable doing that.
Getting into the wetsuit?
Yeah, I mean, not that they don't make wetsuits for fat people. I'm sure they do. I just, personally, I don't think I would be that comfortable. But were I to drop 900 pounds... I think it might be feasible and enjoyable.
Yeah. Underwater, it really doesn't matter how much you weigh. So
no, it doesn't.
That might help your decision.
If anything, you're just going to be more appealing to the sharks and the crocodiles.
Exactly. There you go. Like, you know those things that you see sometimes in movies where people go underwater, and it's like a little like motor thing that they hold on to, and it like yeah. a Segway for the water.
Yes.
I would want to do that. So I wouldn't have to like.
Yeah, yeah. That's, like that's flop not
my
bad.
Feet and shit. Like I'm not coordinated to do all that. But if something will like propel me through the water, then that would be.
Preferred. Do the work for you.
Exactly. And I could concentrate on like breathing and not having a panic attack. Like with the self-awareness.
Yep.
Because I think I would freak out mentally like I'm underwater. And I'm breathing through this tank, and oh my God. And
I might die. This is yeah. literally separating me from death right yeah, now. This yeah. is all I have to rely on.
Yeah, I think I would probably just mentally freak out.
Right. So Bridget Fonda just got dumped in the lake again. Mm-hmm. Take a shot, I guess. And Brendan Gleeson and his deputy are trying to, I don't know, they just pulled up the anchor. And they have to go retrieve her.
Of course, the engine's stalling out.
Of course. Oh, there we go. As you must. Yep. Okay. All right. We're off and running. Let's get her back in the boat. The fish are freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen.
Freaking out like we do on the freak out driving.
Luckily, get her she back was in the wearing boat. Her life vest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, apparently they can see it because he said it's right under you.
Hmm. Oh, well. Oh,
no, it wasn't. It was oh, Bill Pullman.
It was just Bill Pullman. Yep. He's a bit spooked as well.
Yeah, he's freaked out.
Hmm. Get him back in the boat. Can't lose him. Don't care what happens to her so mm-mm. much.
Nah, not at all, actually.
Uh-oh, bubbles. You know what that means. Oliver Platt also unaccounted for. This is a problem.
There yeah. we go.
Okay. We got to collect him.
Yep.
Get him in the boat.
They're pretty competent to this point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're not being the typical, the movie needs them to be dumbasses, so they're dumbasses. Certain characterizations aside that are unlikable, they are competent. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
Oh, shit. The red shirt just got obliterated.
Yes.
The deputy got his head chopped the fuck off.
A decapitation. All right. That You're doing
amazing.
Well. You're doing well, movie, if you've got a decapitation.
Very well. And that was really good because it was a tease. Like, you kind of saw like, teeth and a snout in the water.
Yes.
It wasn't, like, a full-on look yet.
Mm-hmm. But the devastation but, was yeah. unmistakable.
Yeah, he totally bit that guy's head off. That was awesome.
Nice kill. Well done, movie.
Very well done. God, like, getting eaten by a wild animal is probably my worst fear.
It kind of is, right?
Like, it really is.
And I'm trying to think of a worse way to go.
Is that not a horrible way to die? Like,
yeah.
Like, you, like, become poop for a wild animal. Like, like you're digested.
Honestly, every
in
time
a
I
fucking,
watch.
Like, stomach.
Anytime I watch one of those when animals attack kind of things, like on Nat Geo yeah. or Animal Planet or whatever. It's, well, you know, we got attacked by a crocodile. I try to put myself in that same situation. And I'm like, if I get eaten by a crocodile and just become part of the ecosystem, we talked about earlier in this film how crocodiles are a keystone species mm-hmm. and they have no natural predators. Like, they're only real issue is with humans.
Right.
Yeah, I would feel like that's some kind of failing, but at the same time, sort of karmic retribution. Like, it would be a hell of a way to get.
Oh my God.
To become some animal's poop.
Food. Right. It's so like mm-hmm. basic and raw.
Primal.
Primal. And it's like, you know, I'm in a, like a, I'm a human, like, I have advanced intelligence, and yet I am food right. for and this yet, mindless it does animal. Not right. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Something about that is this always.
Predator sort of, does not care. Right. Does not care what my care. Opinions on the world are. Does no. not care what politics are. Mm-mm. Just sees me. You are food.
You are meat.
Mm hmm. Oh.
And it sort of put things in perspective, too, because once you fear that, you're like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like your animalistic caveman thing.
As we laugh about Brendan Gleeson, again, taking another pratfall.
Yes.
Strung up.
An Oliver platfall.
An Oliver platfall. Wow.
Sorry.
That's no. Well done. It's your show. You know, you gotta.
Horribly done, yes.
He's been snared by a trap yeah. and they're putting it down.
He's remarkably calm about it.
Yeah. I don't know if he's gonna remain that way.
Let's see.
Mm.
Oh, nope.
Yep. Yep. See, here we go. Look at this sexual tension.
It is. Y'all should just fuck already and get it over with.
I know. Well, Bridget Fonda asked
oh,
earlier.
Oh, fuck!
Whoa, we got
Speaking
a bear.
Speaking of bears.
Mm.
Oh, my God. That's a grizzly bear.
Not the kind of bear I want to run into. Oh! Oh, shit.
Wow.
Well.
Wow. Our croc just ate a grizzly bear.
Yeah, that may be the first and only time you will see a crocodile take a grizzly bear. Any bear, for that matter.
That was amazing.
Well, not any bear. I'm sure they've eaten many human bears, mm-hmm. but...
Haven't we all?
Haven't we all?
Wow. And that was not bad CGI, actually.
No, it really wasn't.
It was not horrible.
It was convincing, mm-hmm. sort of. Hmm. All right, now here's where I'm having some issues because, again, as a herpetologist,
right,
you understand. They just said that this crocodile is 30 feet.
Yes.
I could tell you that the largest crocodile ever recorded, I want to say, topped out at like 26, 27 feet, and even that is in dispute. Mm. The largest crocodile in captivity that died in like 2013 in the Philippines, Lolong, great crocodile, wonderful crocodile. Mm,
the best crocodile.
The best crocodile. It was a little bit over 20 feet.
Wow.
Longest crocodile, largest crocodile in captivity that we have on record, basically. And we are saying that this crocodile, this saltwater crocodile that has somehow migrated to this lake in Maine, is the largest crocodile that has ever lived by some margin.
Well, I can't say like he's the third largest. I mean, nobody gives a fuck. You know, it's got to be the biggest, right? The biggest and the baddest.
I guess it has to be supernaturally large.
Right. At least they didn't say like 50.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's outside of the realm of plausibility, but not, it is absurd. I mean, this is an absurd movie.
But it's not egregious.
But it's not saying, it's not as egregious as it could be, I suppose.
Oh, they're having their little moment in the tent.
Right. Mm. Very flirtatious here. She's patching him up. She did, as I started to say before the bear attack earlier, she wondered, you know, she had asked the question, what are men like in the wild and, you know, in the woods when they're camping? Do they just lose all control and it turns into a deliverance situation?
Right.
I mean, this is a legitimate question that she asked.
Mm-hmm.
a fellow female companion, and was sort of brushed off. But as we saw in that exchange between Oliver Platt and Brendan Gleeson, maybe it is like that.
It might be like that. I mean, have you ever been? I know we talked before about certain like vacation areas, but like, have you ever been like legit camping like this, like primitive?
I have as a child, several times, and then it ended badly because here's a story, real quick. So we had a campfire and everything, roasted marshmallows, tents, you know, as you described earlier, watering hole, the whole nine yards, right? Mm-hmm. Did it upright, huge experience. Well, the next morning, of course, as a child, like probably, I'm trying to think how old I was at the time. I think this was still in the 80s, so couldn't have been more than 6 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. Me and my cousin, of course, we're the first to get up because we're little kids, and that's how that works when you're that age. Mm-hmm. The adults are still hungover, asleep. Wee hours of the morning, we're just nutsing around the campground, whatever. Had our toys, and I remember specifically dropping an action figure into the remnants of the campfire from the night before, right? Mm-hmm. Just ash, whatever. Thinking nothing of it, I stepped into the circle to pick it back up. Well, guess what? They did not actually extinguish the fire with water from the night before, so it was still red hot coals.
Oh my gosh.
That I stepped in. So I basically firewalked and, yeah, ended up with second and third degree burns.
Oh my God.
All over my feet. It was a disaster.
What was the figure that you dropped? Was it Cyclops?
No, it was, this was before, it was some kind of Ninja Fighters weird action figure, like generic bullshit, like drugstore action figures, you know, like not even worth
totally going not worth in. The second and third degree burn.
Should have let it burn. And instead, I took the L on that. And like, I remember it's just like, it was bad. Like my aunt had to get a bucket of water and stick my feet in it, which was not very sanitary, but you have to do something, and there's like, we're out. Ooh, we just saw a head. Okay.
They saw a footprint.
Back to the movie.
Yeah. They saw a footprint, so they were making a cast of it, and she took a step in the woods, and then a decapitated head popped up.
We found the severed head, so
the
crocodile did, right, the crocodile did not actually consume the head, apparently.
No, he just wanted to bite it off.
What a pity.
Gross. It looks great, though.
It does. It looks pretty good.
Oh, gross. A snake crawled out of his mouth.
Snake. Yep.
God.
All right.
How does Bill Pullman look even sexier?
I know. The hair. Oh, my God.
It is the hair.
So perfect.
All right. Here we go. Betty White.
This is
you know, amazing.
This is a great, like, third act kind of twist right here.
Because nobody saw this coming. Oh,
my God.
There you go. Betty White leading her cows to the water to feed to the crocodile.
Right.
With a tremendous shot at the crocodile.
You know, we met Betty White earlier, this character, this very unassuming character. Mm-hmm. Kind of eccentric. Had some stories.
Oh, man.
And now we see
she has been feeding him.
This goddamn crocodile is her pet.
Nobody saw that coming, right?
No, I can't imagine. I think nowadays you would, but 1999, probably not.
What is her justification for this?
Well, we're going to find out.
She seems very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
She's been feeding it for six years.
6 goddamn years. This thing has been here. It has survived 6 goddamn main winters. Let's...
He doesn't bother anybody. He's like a pet. What the shit, old lady? You're insane. Although...
If I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it. Betty White is a national treasure.
She is.
So she told the story earlier when she was introduced in the film that her husband was dead. She kind of joked flippantly, said that she killed him. It was a mercy killing kind of thing. And they were like, okay, lady, whatever. What a nutcase. Mm-hmm. Turns out, nah, he got eaten by the crocodile. It was an accident.
Good Lord.
One of their horses got out. There was a mix-up. He tried to save it. Crocodile got him. Eh, what
I just
do you
didn't
do?
Tell anybody because they'd come and harm the crocodile.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Nobody lives on this fucking lake. Leave it alone.
What? Oh, God. What is it with this level of, like...
Mm-hmm.
Just obliviousness. Or maybe it's just simplicity. Like, this is what it is. Like, it's a wild animal. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Well...
Or maybe she has some affection for it.
There might be a middle ground between... doing nothing and feeding it for 6 years.
Exactly, yes.
But it seems like she's rather attached to the animal.
She kind of is, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't bother anybody until recently.
Maybe her husband beat her, and now she feels...
yeah.
Saved.
She certainly didn't seem that broken up about it.
Not at all.
Well, and her story was that the crocodile just followed him home one day and just grew. Here's the thing. She says it kept growing over the years. And, I mean, that is one thing.
Yeah, because it eats cows.
Yeah, that's factually accurate. Crocodiles, again, I'm a herpetologist. You understand?
Yes, obviously.
They're biologically immortal. They do not die of old age. Mm-hmm. Like, it means nothing for a crocodile to be 80 years old. Mm-hmm. They literally eat and keep growing. Mm-hmm. And they only die because their energy and resource requirements become unsustainable because they're so huge.
Right.
They get to a point where it's like, hey, I'm 20 feet long and I'm now going to starve to death because I can't eat enough. To sustain. Look at this shot.
That's amazing.
What a great shot.
That's Oliver in the water, nose to nose with this thing, and it looks great.
With a 30-foot crocodile.
Yeah, it looks really good.
You sort of have to suspend your disbelief here and just appreciate what you're looking at, because this is not the bullshit shark and jaw.
No. Mm-mm.
You know, looked like shit, let's face it.
And that looks like a sort of practical effect there, too.
It does.
It looks real. Yeah. It looks real.
Wow. And, I mean, we kind of know that Oliver... Well, I don't know. Do we know that Oliver Platt's not going to get eaten?
We don't know that.
Does he have enough plot armor in this movie?
I would say
Is he enough of an A-list actor? Probably not.
Okay, hot cop is going to try to shoot it, but...
Yeah, hot lady cop here, and he's waving her off.
All right, he's sitting... Ooh! He set off his little inflatable raft to distract.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Thank God for that helicopter. Oh, no!
The crocodile's attacking the helicopter.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is great.
As a herpetologist, this is very implausible.
It still looks great, though.
I Very tense scene there. Nicely done.
It's beautiful. I mean, it really is.
Very cool movie. Wouldn't it be cool, though, not to die of old age? To just imagine your fatness does not kill you. You just keep eating, and you have to keep eating in order to survive.
That's the dream, really.
It's not that you're going to die because you keep eating. It's literally, that's your only way to live is to keep eating. And to keep eating at an increasing rate.
It's really what we all want.
I know. Crocodiles are doing it right,
they
man.
They are. We could learn things from them.
I mean, the only reason they die is, again, like I said, they starve to death or they lose all their teeth. I mean, this can be a problem as you get old. You know, you lose all your teeth. You can't eat. Mm-hmm. You're still going to starve to death. Or you get a disease.
Right.
I mean, you get more susceptible to disease over time. And that's what happens. But beyond that, they don't die, man.
They're basically dinosaurs,
yeah.
You think they like...
These things have existed.
You think they're just like, get to the point where they're just so old, they're just like, oh my god, like somebody, like...
I'm just over it.
Just somebody. Maybe they just stop eating, just they can't do it anymore, and they're like, I'm just going to go on my own. I'm going to choose to just not eat anymore.
And they get suicidal.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Can't put myself in the mind of a crocodile. Even though I do find them quite relatable.
As a herpetologist, can you tell me how intelligent they are?
I don't know that they're all that intelligent.
No. They're instinctual only.
Very instinctual. Very driven by instinct. Very, you know, opportunistic. The thing is, they've been served well by evolution. They have this evolutionary trump card where you won't even see them approaching. They can have just their tiny little nostrils sticking above the surface of the water, their tiny beady little eyes above the surface of the water. It's all they need. Mm-hmm. They're fine. Mm-hmm. They're good. You won't see them. But then they seize you just like that. And they've been unchanged for so many.
Yeah, I mean they're perfect killing machines. So, like, why? There's no need to evolve.
Kind of admirable. Yeah. I mean, we need a lot of changes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a species.
Yes.
We need serious changes. A lot of things got to change.
Yeah.
And we just won't.
No.
But yeah, we should be envious of the crocodiles.
I think that Bill Pullman's character should feel very emasculated at this point because he's done nothing. I mean, I don't know what he could do, but like, it seems like you should have some sort of plan.
Mm-hmm.
If allegedly you're the wildlife expert,
yeah,
this scenario. But I don't know. Yeah,
he's kind of, he's not stepping up like he should
really
be.
He's really not. He's just letting things happen.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. We were just told this crocodile is 150 years old. They're having this debate now for what do they do about it. Do they kill it? Do they sedate it? How do we bring it in?
What do you think?
As a herpetologist, my understanding is crocodiles don't often do that well when tranquilized under sedation. Mm-hmm. So I guess you try that and hope for the best. But they're acting like these are absolutes, you know. Mm-hmm. Either kill it, we got to kill it, or we got to tranquilize it. And it's just movie dramatics here.
I
look at those pants, though. God,
yeah,
wears them so well.
It does. I'm of two minds about this because, like, the preservationist in me wants to be like, no, you can't kill it, but then, like, also it's killing humans, so You got to rein it in some way. Maybe Betty White has the best idea to just keep feeding it these cows. And then just step up the cows and then
yes. They
won't be hungry for humans. Of course, it's attacked for reasons other than hunger. So maybe it's just... it likes
did it though? I mean,
well, it's the
getting
deputy.
Older. It's getting older. Its resource requirements are increasing. Betty White's doing her best here, but mm-hmm. I may need more than a cow a month or a week or however frequently she's doing this. I think they can go a long time without eating, but still, I'm hungry and. I need to keep eating to live. Mm-hmm. God damn it. Mm-hmm. Hook me up.
Well, he bit the deputy's head off, but yet we saw it later. So, why did he not eat it?
Yeah, I guess he found it unsatisfactory for
maybe
whatever.
So they have a cow attached to a helicopter now, which is a totally normal thing that should be happening. They're going to dunk it like a fucking tea bag in this fucking lake.
Lowering this son of a bitch into the
cow.
Lake.
It's like the goat in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it really is. And Bill Pullman says, the more it thrashes, the better.
And they're going to put ropes on it? What the fuck? You're not going to be able to rope this thing.
They have assured everyone that no harm will actually come to this cow. Pull her up when the crocodile approaches.
Betty White. I'm rooting for the crocodile.
I remember this scene from the trailer.
It's beautiful.
Prominently rooting for the crocodile. Hope it swallows your friend's whole.
He's not falling for this shit. It's already nighttime. That was the quickest day that ever happened. Good luck.
They've been at this for a minute.
A while. It was like dawn and then nighttime.
Yeah. In fairness, a lot of noteworthy crocodiles in captivity of a large size had a history of negative interactions with humans, let's say.
Yeah.
And they weren't killed. They weren't slaughtered. They were noted as they were of ecological interest, right? Mm-hmm. So... You put them in captivity, they're on display, you make some money on them. Hello.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. But they weren't killed, so there's a case to be made for, especially if this is the largest crocodile that's ever lived, apparently.
If this crocodile were to be captured, would you go and visit it in its home?
Oh, absolutely.
And just... take selfies with it and stuff.
Out of my way, yeah, definitely. Don't know how close I'd get, but
yeah, no. So their plan is to lure him in with the cow, which they've got him now, and mm-hmm. then they're gonna shoot him with trank guns.
Yeah, they're gonna trank him. She's mooing.
She's mooing. She's a fucking cow.
Look at this thing.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. They got to get it in the underside, too. If you shoot it on the back.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. So they got one dart in him on his belly?
Yep.
That doesn't seem like enough for this guy.
No, it doesn't. Not for this big bitch. Oh
no.
Just that cow right in the water.
Oh, no. He lost the cow. Oh, and then the helicopter goes.
Yeah.
It's pretty good little.
This cow is fucked.
Yeah.
So is the helicopter.
So is Oliver. It's real. I don't know. This movie is just really holding up for me.
It kind of is.
It really is.
We're not getting as much of the dialogue. I mean, I've got the closed captioning on,
yeah,
but
me too.
I'm sure we've missed a lot, but it's not like it's difficult to follow.
But I'm still pretty hooked on it, even though we've been talking through it.
definitely has held my interest. Hmm. Oliver Platt here is, he's not got a lot of options.
Mm-mm. Something tell me he gonna die.
Oh, shit.
What would you do? Try to stay on the helicopter or swim for it?
I think I would be too paralyzed with fear.
Me too.
Beyond the capacity for rational thought.
Me too.
Yeah, my ass ain't moving.
I ain't getting in that damn water.
I'm still probably getting eaten, but...
Yeah, probably. Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I'm going to make a run for it. I'm a coward at heart, even as a herpetologist.
And the water's so shallow right there. It's like, how is he hiding?
Oh. Well, that's the thing. Like I said, this is their evolutionary advantage. You don't have to see a lot of them for them to be there.
Ooh.
Mm.
Oh, going after the sheriff. Almost got him.
Shit.
Oh!
Bridget Jones.
Oh, no.
Bridget Jones.
Bridget
Fonda just got... What if Renee Zellweger?
Oh my God. All right. Here we go.
This crocodile is fatter than I am. Yeah. She's just eating shit here.
Good. Some questionable CGI, but still not bad.
Right. I was going to say, it's a little bit ropey, but still, for 1999,
it's not bad.
You've seen worse.
And it's scary.
Think about the Anaconda movies. 1997, Anaconda. Bad.
Bad, yeah.
Somehow got worse in all of the sequels that were made to that shitty movie, which I kind of love.
Why would she get in the water?
Oh my God, what a dumbass.
No way.
That's the worst thing she could have
done. No! Oh my God, he told her to dive, so she's diving. She's on the hide behind a
board.
A tree. Because that'll work.
She's about to win a Darwin Award here.
These underwater sequences look really good.
Yeah. What a fucking great idea. Let's see.
No, I would have drowned for sure.
I cannot
hold my breath underwater.
I cannot either.
I'm horrible.
Maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, and of course her foot is caught.
Of course. Oh. Now she's in the other way. Whenever somebody goes in the water, like for an underwater thing, I always like try to hold my breath for the amount of time they're under in the movie. And
yeah.
Never make it.
Fail.
Ever.
Exactly.
I'm just like, nope.
Nope.
What a drown. I think I would rather drown than be eaten by this guy.
Mm.
Who now has shoved himself through the helicopter.
Yes.
And it looks awesome.
Is entrapped here within the helicopter. Very interesting.
So they both got to land. He's in the helicopter.
Great visual.
It's so awesome. What are they going to do?
Brendan Gleeson looking for any excuse. Oh, he's suffering. Got to put him down.
He's trapped in the helicopter.
Mission accomplished. Oliver Platt concludes.
No. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Again, looks pretty good,
so
right?
Amazing.
Oh, the drugs are kicking in, though.
Oh, you started to my ears. Night-night.
Yeah.
Well, night-night.
Hook me up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, how about that?
These effects are really good. Do you have any sympathy for the crocodile at this point?
I don't know so much sympathy as just respect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly this motherfucker is a survivor. Mm-hmm. Apex predator. It's just doing what they're designed to do, man. Mm-hmm. Betty White said it herself. Nobody lives in this fucking lake. It's his lake now.
It's his lake. Just let him live there, you know? Like you said, he's not going to die anytime soon, so just...
Let's maybe get him in a better habitat. I don't know.
Better, you think? Yeah. Like what? Cool. Besides like your own lake? What else?
I don't know. One of those nice retreats.
One of those nice crocodile retreats.
That's right.
Just like a retirement home for crocodiles.
Mm. Whoa.
Oh,
what the hell?
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
We got another one?
Swerve.
We got two crocodiles in this lake.
Two crocodiles.
Hold the phone.
It bit Hector Oliver.
What?
Holy shit! Okay, that one got blown the fuck up. A la Jaws.
Okay, alright. Well. We just casually killed a second crocodile. Very casually showed up itself.
Yeah. What?
We had two motherfucking crocodiles in this lake.
How would there be another one? I mean, wouldn't he have already, like, maybe it was a female.
It was noticeably smaller, mm-hmm. which...
Well, yeah.
I mean, females are smaller.
Everything's smaller than a 30-foot fucking crocodile.
The world is smaller.
Just way smaller. He looks... The way that they are shooting him, it looks like he has some sort of intelligence. You know,
looks
like...
before, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, wow.
The cow is still
alive. The cow is still there.
They have to show it. Oliver Platt is still alive. I guess we're glad.
So they're concocting some sort of plan to get him... to some sort of place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, he's going to have a nice retirement in Florida. Mm-hmm. Someone has to accompany Oliver Platt here. No one is volunteering.
No, nobody wants to do that.
Of course, it's going to be Brendan Gleeson.
That's the other thing I like about this.
His boyfriend.
Yeah. It's like nobody, even though, you know, typically in these movies, like, when you go through something traumatic, like, people will bond together, and now they're all just like...
Shared traumatic experience. Yeah. Right? Not so much.
A little bit, but... They're definitely gonna fuck in that ambulance. For sure.
That's a deleted scene.
All right.
Okay.
Now, if you were Bill Pullman, would you go for a hot lady cop or Bridget Fonda?
Do I work directly with the hot lady cop, or is she just... Well, he's not a cop, though, right?
He's, so, you know, fish and game.
As we established.
Yeah.
Fish and game, yeah.
So he could hit it and quit it, you know?
I think I go for the hot lady cop. Bridget Fonda is such a... Come on.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. She's trouble.
That lady cop was hot. She looked like mm-hmm. she'd be fun. Now he's questioning himself.
Of course.
And she's calling him out for not making a move.
She's got too much baggage, man.
Yeah. He's a simple man.
Yeah. Enjoys simple pleasures.
Mm-hmm. Like crocodile hunting.
Yes. And eating out Bridget Fonda.
I already missed the crocodile.
What a David E. Kelly scene.
Oh my god. Well, I love this movie. Like, I love it even more than I expected to love it. It's simple and fun,
mm-hmm.
and very well done.
And you're right, it does kind of hold up. I mean,
it super holds up.
Sort of not expecting that. I mean, it's not, like I said, a movie that's hard to follow. Weren't a ton of surprises. There's not a lot that I, you know, forgot here, but it's still pretty gripping.
It is.
It's what you want. I do wish we had gotten some more kills. There's yeah, not a lot of kills in this movie. It's a little short on that.
Oh, now Betty White is feeding the
what the hell alligators. Crocodiles.
Now she's legit insane.
Yeah, crocodiles. We've got babies now. It was clearly this thing. That second crocodile we saw was its mate, mm-hmm. and it has babies. Well, guess what? Did you know that there are a fucking shit ton of sequels to this movie?
No, really?
Yeah, I was looking on Wikipedia earlier. They're all Sci-Fi Channel originals. They really are. We have, let's see, make sure I have this right. So the original Lake Placid, which we just watched from 1999, we had Lake Placid 2 brought to you by the Sci-Fi Channel in 2007, 8 years later, right? Well, they followed that up with Lake Placid 3, 2010. Mm-hmm. Then, in true horror movie tradition, Lake Placid, not 4, but Lake Placid, the final chapter.
Final chapter. Right.
2012. Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Okay.
Ooh.
In 2015. I guess it wasn't the final chapter. Fighting Anaconda.
It never is.
I feel like I'd be rooting for the crocodile.
For sure. Against the
snake. Come
I
on.
I kind of need to watch that, though.
And then, pretty recently here, Lake Placid Legacy 2018.
Really?
Yeah. Find all of these on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I will be looking into those.
Wow. I don't think Betty White came back for any of them, which is a travesty.
Probably not any of these people went back for any of those.
Right. I kind of want a world where, like, the entire cast came back for all of them, just no one noticed.
Right. Like what else is Bridget Fonda doing, like we said?
Yeah. I love it.
Wow.
Jenny, who is your favorite celebrity crocodile?
Celebrity crocodile?
Yeah, there's a lot of celebrity crocodiles. Which one do you like the best?
Are there?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, there's Lolong, who was the largest crocodile in captivity, died a few years ago, Philippines. You have Gustav, who was of Burundi. He terrorized the Ruzizi River, notorious for rumored to have consumed over 300 people.
Oh my God.
In his lifetime. Apparently, possibly still alive, still out there, Gustav, was the inspiration for the 2007 film Primeval. Did you see that?
I don't think so.
It wasn't very good. Also released in 2007. How do they do this where they have these two, like, the same movies in the same year? Wyatt Earp was like that. Remember when they had Tombstone and Wyatt Earp mm-hmm. both?
Yeah.
1994,
like Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Perfect. Great example, yeah. And what were the two asteroid movies? You had
Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, thank you. That's the one I couldn't remember. Deep Impact, also a great porno.
Deep.
Anyway, we had two killer crocodile movies in 2007, Primeval and Rogue. Rogue, pretty good, actually. You should check that one out.
Okay, yes, I will. I think my favorite celebrity crocodile would have to be the one that follows Captain Hook around and tries.
Oh, yeah. What's very
his
good.
Name? TikTok? I don't know if that's his name. But.
Yeah, does he have a name? I don't know. But he swallowed the clock, of course. Mm-hmm, which,
right, yes.
What a weird story.
It's kind of cool, though.
Kind of fun, yeah. Well, I mean, within the realm of crocodilians, mm-hmm. you know, not just crocodiles, you have the alligator with the knife stuck in his head. Did you hear about this story?
No.
Yeah, just recently out of Sugarland, Texas, there was a alligator documented. You can Google it now. Appears to have a steak knife stuck in his head. Just happy as he can be, but
wow.
Yeah. That's
they really don't die, do they?
They, like I said, they don't die. Wow. They're immortal.
Wow.
They're unbothered by steak knives stuck in their heads. So don't know if that's been addressed or removed or whatever, but a few weeks ago I remember seeing that story. Yeah, good times.
Yeah, when humanity is all erased, the crocodiles will still be here.
The crocodiles will outlive us, yes. They will. Much so. Mm.
Wow, thank you so much for watching this with me. It was everything.
Thank you for having me on to watch this in such great timing, coinciding with Crawl, which we need to see and probably talk about.
Yes, we do need to see and talk about. I'm planning to do that in the next week or so.
Looking forward to it.
Is there anything that you would like to mention or plug before we get out of here?
Oh, hell. Let's see. On this feed, the Place to Be Nation pop feed, I am part of the Sarcastic Four on the Marvel Age podcast, where we cover all of the great years, every year, in fact, of Marvel Comics publication history. We are finishing up the year 1971 on Marvel Age, third installment of that year. Look for that to drop very soon, that episode of Marvel Age. And I think, other than that, are just going to be podcasts that I am on with you, my dear.
Right? Yes, we do tend to enjoy to podcast together, don't we?
We enjoy each other's company,
we
I think.
Sure
That's
do.
Fair to say.
One of those things that we enjoyed together was on the wrestling feed. On Talking WCW, our last episode was about War Games.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fun. So check that out on the wrestling feed. And we have a Talk and Pop coming up
pretty we do.
Soon. So be on the lookout for that. And what about on the social?
We will be interviewing Gustav the Crocodile.
We will, yes. With a run-in with TikTok. Crocodile.
Yeah. Oh, man. A lot of great insights mm-hmm. on that episode.
Mm-hmm. What about social medias?
On the social medias, best place to find me is going to be on Twitter, where I am at Psyche68, CYKE68. You can sort of find me on Facebook, too. I'm not super active there, but kind of grudgingly coming around. I don't know what you can call it. Place to Be Nation Comics. If you're a part of that group, that's where I will be active. So if you need to reach me and you're really inclined to reach me on Facebook, do it there or hit me up on Messenger. But I would direct you to my Twitter as my preferred social media.
Same for me. I'm at JennyCruz2814, and you can hear me on actually, you and I both did an episode. Miranda and I had you on Geek and Sassy on our last
oh,
episode.
That's right. Yes.
To talk season 3 of Stranger Things. That was, of course, before it dropped. So that mm-hmm. was sort of your primer for season 3. And now,
some of our predictions came true, some of them not.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes, usually.
That's how it goes, yeah.
What else? I have a brand new podcast on the wrestling feed starting soon.
What?
It is another co-hosting gig for me. It is called PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, and it will be all about ECW.
Oh, I love it already.
Yep. So that'll be something to check out in the near future. But I think that's everything. Should be.
Very cool.
All right. So thank you again. I love you very much.
I love you very much. Thank you again for having me. This has been a pleasure. And I hope you, as one herpetologist with a message to the world, I hope you're enjoying lots of crocodilian creature features.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.